Intent is a force that exists in the universe. When sorcerers, that is, those who live of the source, beckon intent, it comes to them and sets up a path for attainment, which means that sorcerers always accomplish what they set out to do. Unquote. When I read those two sentences, I was stunned by the insight and clarity it gave me about the power of intention. Imagine that intention is not something you do, but rather a force that exists in the universe as an invisible field of energy. I had never even considered intention in this way before reading Castaneda's words. I wrote those two sentences down, and then I had them printed on a card and laminated. I carried the laminated card with me into the catheter lab for my minor surgical procedure, and as soon as I could, I began talking about the power of intention to anyone who would listen. I made intention a part of every speech I gave. I immersed myself in this idea to use it, not only for my own healing, but to help others use the power of intention to carry them where they're fully equipped to go. I had experienced what is called satori, or instant awakening, and was intent on offering this insight to others. It had become clear to me that accessing the power of intention relieved so much of the seemingly impossible work of striving to fulfill desires by sheer force of will. Since that defining moment, I've thought of the power of intention in virtually all of my waking hours, in books, articles, conversations, telephone calls, items arriving in my mailbox, and arbitrary works I might be looking at in a bookstore, all seem to conspire to keep me on this path. So here it is, the power of intention. I hope this book will help you view intention in a new way, and also to make use of it in a manner that leads you to define yourself as Patanjali suggested more than 20 centuries ago. Dormant forces, faculties, and talents come alive, and you discover yourself to be a greater person by far than you ever dreamed yourself to be. Patanjali's two words, dormant forces, kickstarted me in the direction of writing about intention. Patanjali was referring to forces that appear to be either non-existent or dead, and he was referring to the powerful energy a person feels when inspired. If you've ever felt inspired by a purpose or calling, you know the feeling of spirit working through you. Inspired is our word for inspirited. I've thought long and hard about the idea of being able to access seemingly dormant forces to assist me at key times in my life to achieve an inner burning desire. What are these forces? Where are they located? Who gets to use them? Who's denied access? And why? Questions like these have propelled me to research and write this book and subsequently arrive at a totally new perspective on intention. At this point, as I'm writing about my excitement of realizing a long obscured truth, I know that intention is a force that we all have within us. Intention is a field of energy that flows invisibly beyond the reach of our normal everyday habitual patterns. It's there even before our actual conception. We have the means to attract this energy to us and experience life in an exciting new way. The meaning of omnipresent intention. Try imagining a force that's everywhere. There's no place that you can go where it isn't. It can't be divided and is present in everything you see or touch. Now extend your awareness of this infinite field of energy beyond the world of form and boundaries. This infinite, invisible force is everywhere, so it's in both the physical and the non-physical. Your physical body is one part of your totality emanating from this energy. At the instant of conception, intention sets in motion how your physical form will appear and how your growing and aging process will unfold. It also sets in motion your non-physical aspects, including your emotions, thoughts, and disposition. In this instance, intention is infinite potential, activating your physical and non-physical appearance on Earth. You formed out of this omnipresent to become present in time and space. Because it's omnipresent, this energy field of intent is accessible to you after your physical arrival here on Earth. The only way you deactivate this dormant force is by believing that you're separate from it. Activating intention means rejoining your source and becoming a modern-day sorcerer. Being a sorcerer means attaining the level of awareness where previously inconceivable things are available. As Carlos Castaneda explained, the task of sorcerers was to face infinity, or intention, and they plunged into it daily as a fisherman plunges into the sea. Intention is a power that's present everywhere as a field of energy. It isn't limited to physical development. It's the source of non-physical development as well. This field of intention is here, now, and available to you. When you activate it, you begin to feel purpose in your life, and you'll be guided by your infinite self. As you make your metaphorical bow to this power, recognize that you're bowing to yourself. The all-pervading energy of intention pulses through you toward your potential for a purposeful life. How you came to experience yourself as disconnected from intention. If there's an omnipresent power of intention that's not only within me, but in everything and everyone, then we're connected by this all-pervading source to everything and everyone, and to what we'd like to be, and what we'd like to have, and what we want to achieve, and to everything in the universe that will assist us. All that's required is realigning ourselves and activating intention. But how did we get disconnected in the first place? How did we lose our natural ability to connect? Lions, fish, and birds, they don't get disconnected. The animal, vegetable, and mineral worlds are always connected to their source. They don't question their intention. We humans, however, with our capability for presumably higher brain functions, have something we refer to as ego, which is an idea that we construct about who and what we are. Ego is made of 6 primary ingredients that account for how we experience ourselves as disconnected. By allowing ego to determine your life path, you deactivate the power of intention. Briefly, here are the 6 ego beliefs. I've written more extensively about them in several of my previous books, most notably, Your Sacred Self. 1. I am what I have, that is, my possessions define me. 2. I am what I do, that is, my achievements define me. 3. I am what others think of me, that is, my reputation defines me. 4. I am separate from everyone, that is, my body defines me as alone. 5. I am separate from all that is missing in my life. That is, my life space is disconnected from my desires. 6. I am separate from God. My life depends on God's assessment of my worthiness. No matter how hard you try, intention can't be accessed through the ego. So take some time to recognize and readjust any or all of those 6 beliefs. When the supremacy of ego is weakened in your life, you can seek intention and maximize your potential. There are 4 steps to intention. Activating your power of intention is a process of connecting with your natural self and letting go of total ego identification. The process takes place in the following 4 stages. 1. Discipline. This is the first stage. Learning a new task requires training your body to perform as your thoughts desire. So, eliminating ego identification doesn't mean disconnecting from your relationship with your body, but rather training your body to activate those desires. You do that with practice, exercise, non-toxic habits, healthy foods, and so on. 2. Wisdom is the second stage. Wisdom, combined with discipline, fosters your ability to focus and be patient as you harmonize your thoughts, your intellect, and your feelings with the work of your body. We send our children off to school telling them, be disciplined and use your head. And then we call this an education, but it falls far short of mastery. 3. The third stage is love. After disciplining the body with wisdom and intellectually studying a task, this process of mastery involves loving what you do and doing what you love. In the world of sales, I call it falling in love with what you're offering and then selling your love or enthusiasm to potential customers. When learning to play tennis, it involves practicing all of the strokes while studying strategies for playing the game. It also involves enjoying the feeling of hitting the ball and being on the tennis court and everything else about the game. And the final stage, 4. Surrender. This is the place of intention. This is where your body and your mind aren't running the show, and you move into intent. You relax. You allow yourself to be carried by the same power that turns acorns into trees, blossoms into apples, and microscopic dots into human beings. When you surrender, you lighten up and can consult with your infinite soul. Then the power of intention becomes available to take you wherever you feel destined to go. All of this talk of intention and surrender may cause you to question where your free will fits in. You might be inclined to conclude that free will is non-existent or that you become whatever your program dictates. So let's just take a look at your will and how it fits into this new view of intention. As you listen to the next 2 sections, please keep an open mind, even if what you hear